Hello, my lovely friends, and welcome to episode 59 of the Locrib Universe Show.
How are you?
I am all right. How are you?
I am not that super all right.
No.
I know. I was hit by a urinary infection.
Yeah, UTI, huh?
Yeah, UTI.
They're nasty.
They are really terrible. But it gave us a good idea for
today's topic. Yes, it gave us a topic.
Yeah.
We are talking about how sort of our opinion has changed from, you know, from being conventional and high carb and all this to going low carb, and our view on treating different or certain diseases.
Yeah.
And illnesses. This is, of course, a little disclaimer here. We, of course, do not say that you shouldn't see a doctor and stuff like that. When you have to, you have to from the get-go. That's fine. And you do need medicine. But we're just saying that our view on it has changed a little bit, I think.
Yes, it has. And I, for example, can take myself as an example, because I used to have two really nasty colds twice a year,
yeah,
before my low carb, and that meant that my throat was swollen, I was coughing my lungs out, and I had fever, and and I was away from my job for like 1 week,
yeah,
every spring and fall, sort of, and feeling really, really bad. And so the best medicine in that case is to go low carb, because I haven't had such a cold. I've been having colds, but not at that extent.
Yeah.
That powerful. So nowadays when I feel like I get something, I can be like really, really sick for 1 day.
Exactly. And then, yeah, you have that amazing capability.
Yeah, it's awesome. I don't know. I can feel it the night, in the evening, I can feel like my throat is, what is happening tomorrow? I will be so sick. And I wake up and I feel sick. But then I take it easy, and I sometimes make a tea out of ginger and lemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can drink that. And then the day after, I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling well. So, yeah.
No, it's really, it has changed a lot going low carb, actually. As you say, I don't get sick nearly as often either anymore. And that is despite, of course, that I do count to the part of the population that has a compromised immune system.
Yeah.
So, you know, I should be on all... I should stay at home at all times, technically, but I don't. And it's very interesting to experience that actually got better as well. I didn't know that would get better when I started low carbing.
No.
But yeah, when I do feel something, you know, I go full on the supplements. So, you know, I max out on vitamin D3, I max out on zinc, I max out on vitamin C, you know, all of these things, and make sure that actually the very, very powerful point of resting, that I take that into account, and that I don't do more than I should when I don't feel well. So I have time to recuperate and kick back and bounce back.
Yeah, I think that is very important, what you said, that you really force yourself to take it easy.
Yeah.
To sleep is the best cure for
it
many.
It really is. It really is.
So, of course, that is... That is crucial.
Yeah.
And but I seldom do supplements nowadays. I used to, actually, and but that's been like when I came into my menopause, I had my atopic eczema from my younger days.
Yeah.
Came back. But it was a hormonal war, you know, in my body at
that
time. Yeah, but I took a lot of supplements then, but then I just I don't need them anymore.
So oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, and I must say there's also some other things, like for now with my urinary infection, mm-hmm. I started to feel Saturday that I was like, you know, a little bit like this, and pressure over my tummy, and I thought that okay, I might have a UTI coming on here, and so I started to drink water with 2 teaspoons of vinegar,
yeah,
in it, because they also say you should drink cranberry juice, but that's not an option for me because everyone is full of shit.
Yes.
No, it didn't help. So I actually had to go to see the doctor yesterday, and they could see that okay, you have this infection, a bacterial infection, and you need help. And I'm so is there anything else I can do? I don't want to have antibiotics, but they said, oh yeah, you should do this because it can start to feel worse. It will be worse. And I'm so happy I went there because yesterday I had such pain and in my tummy, and you know, all you ladies that, and also men have this.
Yeah.
It's not so fun to go to the loo, you know, having this. And so I've had 3 pills now and I feel much better.
Yeah, it's amazing when you do need antibiotics and the body responds to it. It's amazing how quickly it happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it sure is. And I, one other reflection I made, I saw a question here in a Swedish carnivore group this morning. A member was asking about the microbiome on carnivore. And I had a tooth infection like 10 years ago or something. And I had a certain penicillin because that's really dangerous having something in your tooth,
yeah, of course,
because it can go down in your body, to your heart. And after half a day, I was totally destroyed because my tummy couldn't take this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, it might be 7 or 8 years ago, because I was into low carb for quite a few years. And then I also had my problem with my eyes a few years ago, and I had eye drops that I took with antibiotics, and I had them for 4 times during 1 year, I think, and my tummy was destroyed, and it took took me half a year to get it working properly again, and so I that's one of the things that makes me a bit when it comes to antibiotics. But this time, and I feel it, I'm very sensitive, so I feel it very quick after taking the first pills.
Of course.
Yeah, and now I don't feel anything.
That's fantastic.
So the conclusion to me, and the thing is that I went carnivore in July last year, and I'm not strict carnivore, but I'm 90-95% carnivore. Because I like to have some veggies sometimes, because it's good, and I think my body wants it and needs it.
Yeah.
But if carnivore diet would destroy your gut bacteria, then I would have been much worse.
Exactly.
And now I feel nothing of my gastritis or any stomach pain in my upper tummy, because the stomach pain I have with the infection now, it's in my lower lower tummy.
Yeah.
so the conclusion is that food is medicine.
Food really is medicine, and I noticed the same. Well, for me, actually, I had the last time I had antibiotics was about exactly a year ago, I think, and it was the first time in like 10 years, I think, that I even had antibiotics.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I didn't really notice a difference. Of course, I did take probiotics back then, I think.
Yeah.
So I guess that helped, but I didn't feel any because I know how how destroying it can be, especially on the digestion. So yeah. I was very happy that I didn't have that problem. But that was also one of these infections that just wouldn't let go.
No.
You know, it was like bronchitis.
Ah.
And, yeah. You know, I couldn't breathe and I couldn't cough anymore because everything hurt.
Yes. Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. Aww. So it wasn't very pleasant. So I'm like, okay, well, I realize I need help, which is, I had tried all of my normal things, you know, before this with the supplements. And there's this fantastic, like, herbal thing that always helps me when I get a cold and stuff like that. But this time it just didn't. And I think that's important to distinguish that. Yeah. Sometimes the home remedies just don't help. They're a great start to start treating and, you know, start to try to avoid it getting worse. But you have to also realize that there comes a point where you're like, okay, yeah, no, this is not working and I need help.
Yeah. But I think it's the right mindset to be very reluctant about antibiotics.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to, because big pharma is really good sometimes.
Absolutely, definitely. And the conventional school medicine is fantastic because it does help. It's just, I'm a little bit wary when it comes to these. I first and foremost see it in parents with small children that bring them to the doctor, you know, with whatever they have, if it's a sniffle or a cough or, you know, a rash or something. And the first level of response is just, oh, antibiotics. Like, I can't even imagine how destroyed that poor child's gut biome is. And then, of course, they do develop, because that has been proven in many cases, that then they do develop, you know, food sensitivities and they become, you know, they can't fight off bugs anymore and they can't, then they get sick with every little kindergarten bug that comes along. And I think that's quite sad that people don't see that connection maybe.
Yeah, but at my doctor's visit yesterday, I was pleasantly surprised because they said that we normally don't give antibiotics at
That's
UTI
fantastic.
when people have UTI, because most of the times the body can handle it itself. But then they took a test and they found bacteria in such a high grade level in me, so it was no option.
Well, knowing you wouldn't have gone there if it wouldn't have been severe. So
and it's so funny because not funny, it's the same you hear from most people that has gone low carb in some way, that they seldom see the doctor nowadays. So and the things I've been for, during these 10 plus years on low carb, I can see that they're like special things.
Exactly.
Like my eczema and things like that. So,
Also, this thing with, because I know it's still very common, I think, to have this mindset of that on low carb you don't get sick.
Yes.
Which I think is quite ridiculous because everyone gets sick, whether no matter how good of a base health you have or not. It's just
good point.
Maybe you don't get sick as often, as we pointed out earlier, or maybe it doesn't get as severe every time that you need hospitalization and in IV, you know, antibiotics. You might get away with a lighter version than you would have had otherwise when you suppressed your system with tons of sugar as well. It's just fascinating how much has changed.
Yes, because I know when I was more active in the Swedish low carb community than I am today, it was a lot of talk that you shouldn't be sick if you go low carb. And you shouldn't get cancer and everything. I know. I wrote so many blog posts about this.
I know you've been very active on this topic.
Yeah, because you do get sick, and by giving people that tell someone that I'm sick, bad conscience, and like, oh, you're not doing it right. You're not doing low carb right. It's so stupid. So but I think, as you said, you get a more lighter version of illnesses
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, but I think that is when I feel that I'm getting sick, I have this day, one day when I lay down and just relax and fight for my life. No, I'm not that. I think it is, it's not the illness in itself that makes me that tired and, you know, like this. I think it's my immune system that's working like 110% to get rid of the thing I've gotten.
Yeah, of course. And that's, I mean, that's a really interesting point, because I also think that with cutting out disturbing things like sugar, because that is a stress for the body, I think that we are much more sensitive to what's going on in the body otherwise. So we feel a bug coming on or an illness coming on a lot sooner than we would have otherwise, because our bodies were so preoccupied with handling the sugar and getting rid of, you know, all of these things, that eating cleaner, I think, actually helps you get to know yourself a little bit better.
Yeah. And to many people that start with low carb, you it's like a natural thing that you get more interested.
Of course.
Overall, just not like, okay, I'm going to eat like this now. But because when you notice what's happening to you, you get more aware, and you find others that been experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're, yeah, you too. Well, this is so cool, and blah blah blah, blah blah blah. So yeah. I think it's a cool way of living this.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's a very nice added bonus, not having to get sick that much and not having to miss out on the rest of life like I might have done before, because I was sick a lot, because, of course, my system was not handling anything well. But finding out what works for you, and because, as you can hear, us two also have two different ways of handling when something comes on. So finding what works for you, and there's so many theories and ideas out there that may or may not work. And again, it's very individual. So you have to find what works for you, as per usual.
Yeah, but it's quite fun going to the doctor. That sounded so stupid. But, you know... when I was sitting, because I met a doctor at first that is doing her education.
Okay.
So she first visited me, and she was so thorough with everything. And she was asking, okay, so it hurts when you go to the toilet. Did you find a new sex partner recently?
Well, no. If you did, then don't tell it on this podcast.
No. But she was so like, okay. I have to ask those questions. But she was so, I said, no problem at all. Of course I'm going to answer. But then she went to consult another doctor, because that is what she has to do when being under education. And I sat there in the room, and I was looking at on what you call a tavla.
It's gone. Poster?
A poster on the wall that said a lot about diabetes.
Yeah, that was quite interesting.
That was quite interesting, because it was from like 300 years before Christ and up until now, and you know where all the insulin came and when the fast-acting insulin came and things like that. And then my eyes fell on year 200. After Christ, I think it was 200. And do you know how they treated diabetes at that time? With fish and veggies.
Yeah.
That's what they had. And then it was like some other strange things that doesn't belong in modern healthcare. But they were on to something at 200.
Yeah.
At year 200. And here we are in the 2000.
Exactly.
And we like
And we're still fighting to get back to sort of that level. And I have to say, I read this fantastic article by Amy Berger, who's also coming to Diabetes in Sweden, of course, in June. But she called from the 1960s to 1980s, the dark ages of endocrinology. And that's what's basically destroyed everything. And I was like, yes, this is when it happened. I'm sad, but yes. Anyway, you were going to tell us why it was fun to go to the doctor.
Yeah, but that was fun.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course, because he was so very thorough, being educating and educated, and so she listened to my heart rate, and she took my blood pressure, and she checked my overall health, and everything was just top.
Perfect.
I scored top scores of everything, and you know that is so good for one's ego to hear. Oh yeah, yes. I'm and everything, and my weight was good, and my activity levels were fine, and everything, and so I got a big A.
That's great. Yes. Apart from the UTI, but you know, we can't have everything.
I need to show that I'm human as well.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yes, very humble of you.
I'm so humble. Yes. And talking about humble or not, or we can debunk something today as well. That could be like not really an illness, but something that has been, there's been a lot of talking about this that could affect us keto people.
Yes, yes. And it sounds terrible for the ones that it doesn't happen to. I mean...
Yes, keto crotch.
Yes.
What
kind of fresh hell is this?
Yes, I'm just laughing at it. So I don't know. As I said, I've been in this community for so long, and people can tell about the breath. We know.
Yeah,
when you're
that's
going
fine.
Into ketosis, it smells like awful, and but I've never, ever heard about someone smelling and people are very, in some forums people are very honest, and they are very keen on describing every little body thing that happens, but this never.
I just wonder where they got it from. You know, how can you make that kind of a thing up?
I don't know. It's so super silly.
Yeah, it's not really an illness that, or
condition,
or even a side, you know, whatever of keto that I would be too worried about. If this is what keeps you from trying keto right now, just do it anyway, and you know what, your crotch will have to deal with it. It's fine.
Anything else on this topic, or should we maybe talk a bit about new speakers?
I think we've discussed keto crotch enough now.
Yeah, I think so as well. So we had some news for LCU19.
Yes, we did. We actually have a fantastic addition to our speaker superstars for LCU19, which is, of course, in November in Mallorca, Spain. And I definitely think you should join us, because you will meet...
Dum drum!
A Power Ranger. How cool is that? You're going to meet the Red Power Ranger, and that is about the coolest thing ever. And also, he's of course, founded the Carnivore Shredding Program as well. He's not just the Red Power Ranger. It is, of course, William Schufelt. And we can't wait to welcome him to Mallorca, Spain, to share about his journey, which is very interesting, because he used to be a vegan.
Yes.
And now he's carnivore.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. And I can definitely say that his program at least gives himself results.
Yes. Yes, and I, as I understand, he is truly an inspiration for young youngsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he goes out and talks to them in schools and things. So and this is going to be really cool meeting William.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And all the others, of course. So, yeah. And, yeah, something else?
No, I think I'm quite content with just talking about how we have changed our views on illness a little bit. Of course, normal medicine is needed, just maybe not in the to the extent that it has been used before. And keto crotch, Jesus. Anyway, and of course the Red Power Ranger, and I think you should join us to meet him and hang out with us in Mallorca, Spain in November.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for today's talk.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll do it again next week.
Probably.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.